Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
Free Odyssey. Go ahead. Do it. See if I care. Bill's in Torrington. Hi, Bill. Yes, William. Uh-oh. Bill might have gone to get a drink. He'd been sitting waiting so long. Jeff in Marlboro. Hello, Jeff.
Hey there, Todd. So no heavy lifting tonight, just a couple of light topics.
Okay.
I liked O.J. Simpson in the movies. Nobody seems to have mentioned the fact that he played Nordberg in the movies there with Leslie Nielsen.
Weren't those great, the Naked Gun movies? Those were, and yeah. Him with that big afro and everything couldn't fit through the door.
Yeah, it was hilarious. And he was just sort of, it's funny because a lot of those Hollywood actors, they treat it like, oh, this is my craft, it's a big deal. But he was a football player, and he just took naturally to the camera. He was hilarious.
Well, he also had a lot of practice because he did all those TV commercials for Avis or Hertz. What was that?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think it was.
And he had to fly in those, remember?
I don't remember.
He flew. He flew around the airport. That was, the ads were how fast you could move around the airport if you'd made your reservation through Hertz, I guess, if that was the company.
Okay. And
so he would. It was like he was the flying nun or something. He would just lean a certain way and he'd take off.
Oh, okay, right, yeah. But I mean, yeah, he just took real natural to the camera. He was funny in those movies.
And, he was great.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah.
And what was the other thing I wanted to mention about O.J. was...
movies?
Oh, gosh, now it's escaping me, Todd. I apologize.
You know what happens, though? As soon as you hang up the phone, you will remember.
Yeah, as soon as I hang up the phone, I'm going to remember.
So you better hang up fast so you can remember quickly.
All right, well, thank you anyways for the time.
Thanks, Jeff. Good to hear from you. 860-522-9842. Yeah, we will start the rants in a couple minutes. 860-751-4698, the rant line number. Ian, what's going on the road, sir?
Listen to the Todd Feinberg Show on the free Odyssey app. Download and like WTIC and follow Todd Feinberg today.
Who's following me? 860-522-9842. Bill is calling from Torrington. Hi, Bill.
Hey, how you doing, Todd?
Thank you for persevering. I know you called a few times.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I don't know what happened, but either way.
We like to hang up on people.
Anyways, do you know what Nicole Simpson's last words were?
Oh, this is going to be good. I don't.
Should have had a V8. Hey, what did O.J. Simpson's getaway vehicle and John Elway have in common?
I don't know. What?
They were both slow white Broncos. All right, that's all I got.
That's very good. Those are the jokes of the O.J. era.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I remember from.
Thank you so much. If you think of any more, let us know.
I will, definitely. Thank all you. Right.
I had an idea once. It was when I was young. It might have been 30 or 40 years ago. I had the idea of doing the doing the year in jokes. Really, I was going to do it as a project. It was something I pondered. The year in jokes. It could be one of those series where, you know, each one was a bestseller. Because who wouldn't want to just sit there with a book, a gift book of jokes from the previous year that would cover all the big stories? Just like those wonderful jokes that Bill could remember, two of them. Slow White Broncos. Oh, come on, man. 860-522-9842. Yes, if you're just getting out of work, O.J. died yesterday at the age of 76. And we've been reminiscing about the trial, all the fond memories, all the fond memories of O.J. as a young guy. And being the big, he was huge. He was a huge star from football. And then he did those car rental commercials where he flew around the airport. Those were on all the time. And then he was in the movies. So he was a movie star. It's an incredible thing. I was listening to somebody this morning talk about how making up all these reasons why Donald Trump was attracts so much more. You know, he's got a magnetism to him. And I was listening to another talk station. That's what was happening. And the hosts were talking about how, oh, well, you know, Donald Trump is so much smoother and polished and more appealing. And that's why they respond to him. And then one of the hosts said, no, it's because they're thinking about how much better their economic lives were when Trump was president. I'm saying, no, they're thinking about he was a TV star and they loved the guy long before he was even president. He was already a star. He was a celebrity as a young developer in New York. And then he got the Apprentice thing. And he became a huge TV star for what, a decade? And then he became president. You can't even begin to break down the reasons he's appealing. But certainly people aren't thinking when they meet Donald Trump about how much better they were off financially. They could, but that's just not the top of mind thing, I don't think. 860-522-9842. We've got rants to play.
So I read that Joe Biden has been, after being slapped down once for his student loan repayment fiasco, has found what he thinks is another loophole where he can once again pay off student loans. Mr. Biden, I want you to know that those students and moi have something in common. We both walked into loans with our eyes wide open. We knew what we were getting into. We both knew that if we only paid minimum amounts, that it would take forever to pay off our loans. And the loans that we took out are personal loans. They're private loans. And I don't understand how either one of our loans should be paid off by the federal government. But I'm asking you, Mr. Biden, if you think it's perfectly legal and it's perfectly acceptable to pay off the personal loans of some students who took out loans to go to school and me who took out loans to buy things for the house and for my car and stuff, which is called credit card debt. When are you going to pay off my credit card debt, Mr. Biden? I really want to know that. Thank you.
Imagine if you just kept going down that list. Like, when does my gambling debt get paid off by the federal government? Because they're looking and they're saying, oh, this is really a problem for American families. They have so much gambling debt. And government runs in part, is funded by gambling debt now and drug debt. What if we go looking for bailouts from the federal government for our drug debt to pay the tab at the state sanctioned drug centers?
Hello, Todd. John here.
That's John.
I'm listening to the interview with former Senator Lenzuzio.
Oh, that was good.
Why can't this man get reelected? He has fought in Hartford to help the people. even after he hasn't got reelected, he's still fighting for the people. And he's informing everybody about what's going on. There's something wrong that Len Susio cannot be reelected and sent back to the Senate. I think Connecticut residents are hitting the snooze button and will not wake up. There is a man who is telling them what's going on, and they will not listen at the voting booth. Thank you, Todd. Thanks a lot.
That's John. Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Todd, well, this is aging widow Darla Quackenbush. I own a beach house in Beacon Falls on the Naugatuck River, and I'm looking for a tall, handsome man like you. It may be single, so we can have some intelligent conversations over a dinner with pork and beans. My treat, I'd like to give you my address, and I hope you'll come by and visit me very soon. My number is 203-768, you know who you are too. Can't wait to meet you, Todd.
Imagine if being a talk radio host gave one the kind of celebrity status where there were invitations like that coming in all the time. Legitimate ones, you know? Wouldn't that be funny? All we do here is talk about politics and political issues, and we have to work for our livings and talk radio. I mean, it's not like digging ditches, but you still have to be on the radio X number of hours a week. Come on, man. You ready for another one? Rant line number 860-751-4698. And don't forget, you can call in and talk live during the rants. It's not all one thing or the other.
Hey, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's me, your governor, Ned. Yeah, how is everybody? I've been neglecting calling the rant line because I had to deal with everything that was going on, like the eclipse. We could have had tourists in Connecticut. We lost thousands and millions of dollars on glasses and T-shirts and hats. We could have sold. The state could have made some money on that. Maybe some companies, maybe next time there's an eclipse, we'll sell eclipse hats and jackets. And
how about give them away? You know, develop a little tourism. How about the money the state could have made on the taxes for people booking hotel rooms and wanting to go to those glorious places in Connecticut that would have been perfect to watch the eclipse?
Hats and jackets and stuff. I have my jacket, says governor. So I'm good for any occasion. We even have a spare one in the back of state trooper car and trunk, just in case I had to go out, you know, when it got dark, or in case there was a flood, or in case a bridge collapses. I'd be all over that if I was the governor. I mean, because I am the governor. I'm the governor. So that's why it says on my shirt and on my jacket. And everybody remember that. Don't forget to pay your taxes now, ladies and gentlemen. File your taxes early because the state, we're going to be broke if we don't. I don't know what we're going to do. All right, I got to go. Take care.
Oh, Connecticut. It's quite a story. The financial condition here. Wow. 860-522-9842. I do love that guy, though. I do. Because he's found a way to deliver a version of Ned that I think portrays him as being appropriately dense, but does it in a humorous way, so it doesn't feel like we're berating or picking on the guy on a regular basis. It's just trying to make palatable and laughable so you can deal with it, so you can move on with your life, just how incompetent and disengaged he is.
Boy, you can tell it's an election year. Now there's rumors that Joe is going to sign an executive order to close the border. No surprise there. 3 years later, 9 million and counting illegals already in the country, And now Joe thinks he probably should do something about the border. Maybe it's all the backlash over the crime, murders, rapes that are committed by illegals. Just the other day, another two New York City police officers were beat up by illegals as they tried to stop them ransacking a Target store.
A Target? Of all the things to ransack, Targets are just such attractive stores. They really have their look together, don't they? It feels kind of almost high-end being in a Target.
Hello, I just read today that the U.S. has given the Palestinian organization...
Oh, excuse me. This is a blast from the past. This is like a three-year-old rant. 3 years old, and I just thought, I found this by accident, say, and it has historical significance and provides context to what's going on today, does it not? Listen.
Hello, I just read today that the U.S. has given the Palestinian organization $235 million. Now, it just seems to me that if we're educating illegal immigrants in San Diego, our own kids in San Diego can't go to school, and we give all this money away, and the other bill is like sending, prior to this last boondoggle, was like sending money overseas. It's like, what about, why are the Democratic sycophants waging war against the U.S. taxpayer? And when is the U.S. taxpayer going to wake up?
It's not all U.S. taxpayers they wage war on. Some people are the beneficiaries in the war, and some are the payees in the war. And people who earn money pay taxes, and those tax dollars are then diverted to the people who are wise enough to vote in disproportionate numbers to the Democrats who run the state of Connecticut. And that's just how the deal works. Do you think we ever break that system? Is there a way to break that system once it's been set up? Once you have a corrupt system in place where the people who hold the power get the rewards, then how do you separate their hands from the controls? I don't know how you do that. However, there is the natural change answer. That is that those shifting coalitions from which Democrats get their support, they are going to shift in unpredictable ways, and that's happening right now. There's certain constituencies who are moving away from voting for Democrats because they no longer see the Democrats as representing their needs or desires. And that's what's causing the Democrats now to scramble so as a political party and look to rebuild their collection of constituencies that they use to get enough votes to win elections. And with the two parties so even, it's a really delicate balance. Anything can happen. Virtually anything can happen. 860-522-9842. Rant line number 751-4698. You can rant whenever you want. We're always recording them. We never throw any away because they came in the wrong time or something like that. That's the whole point. Do it when you feel like it, when you get the urge. If you wake up in the middle of the night and just have a rant burning in your head and you say, oh, I'd really love to call in and say this to Todd now. Well, just get up and call the rant line. 860-751-4698. Coming up, we've got time for some phone calls and a rant or two, and then Reese on the radio will be here for his weekly segment with us. And now we check in with Mark's substitute for the day, Ian Stark.
Miss something from the...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Todd Feinberg Show, don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
Okay, okay, it's WTIC 860-522-9842. I do have this. Where's the McCarthy video? Is this it?
Look, it's not going to be viewing pleasure.
Oh, no, that's... That's something different. This is the one I wanted to play. This is former Speaker McCarthy talking about a certain congressman who is not that fond of. You ready?
A member of Congress wanted me to stop an ethics complaint because he slept with a 17-year-old.
He's talking about Matt Gaetz.
A member of Congress wanted me to stop an ethics complaint because he slept with a 17-year-old. An ethics complaint that started before I ever became speaker, and that's illegal, and I'm not going to get in the middle. Did he do it or not? I don't know. But an ethics is looking at it. There's other people in jail because of it. And he wanted me to influence it.
All right, so that's, these guys have trouble saying goodbye to what their, you know, their old positions and moving on in life. Moving on is hard.
And you know what? So then they come out and they say, because I kept government open, I'd do it all over again. We're not going to pay our troops. No, I'm going to pay my troops. You can't do the job? Okay. When it comes to the concession, the motion to vacate about one person being able to make that motion, how long has that been in the rules? Forever. The only time it was changed is when Pelosi became speaker the second time. And she put the power with the minority leader. I think it's wrong. I think you could elect, let them govern. Now, it takes 218 to have the rule package. There's nothing I can do there.
It's hard to follow everything he's saying, but the main thing was the front part here. I found kind of shocking because, remember, Matt Gaetz was under, he's a congressman from Florida, and sort of a smarmy, self-important guy who caused the procedure to be started that led to Speaker McCarthy being ousted. And I don't buy this explanation. He's saying the reason he got ousted is because he knew this about Matt Gaetz, and he was willing to reveal. Well, wouldn't that provide leverage that you could have kept from being evicted?
A member of Congress wanted me to stop an ethics complaint because he... wanted me to stop an ethics complaint because he slept with a 17-year-old.
And why is he talking like this when the thing is over? 860-522-9842. We've got Reese on the radio coming up next on WTIC. First, though.
It's Todd Feinberg. It's Todd Feinberg. Monday through Friday, 3 till 6 on WTIC. News Talk 1080.
Ba-ba-dum. Good afternoon to you. I never know exactly when evening takes over. But it's around this time when suddenly we click into another time of day. Rant line number 860-751-4698. We're waiting to be joined by Reese on the radio.
And I am here.
At reeseontheradio.com, that sensational website that comes along with the voice.
How are you, good sir?
What's happening?
Are you sad? I'm sure you've talked about O.J. Simpson.
Yes.
Do you mind if I kind of, the whole show, was it a whole thing about O.J. Simpson?
No, but okay. good, maybe three quarters of it.
Okay. If I may opine, I'm
probably going to
give a different view on the whole O.J. Simpson thing, just from the perspective of the pundits.
No, and because your perspective is unique, because you also flew around airports back then.
Right. I got the opportunity to meet O.J. post-trial. I met him in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
He was a, we interviewed him on a show that I was a part of back in New York. Yeah, the morning show. And he even did like one of those little morning show drops, you know, hey, this is O.J. Simpson and I'm checking out, blah, blah, blah. You know, we did the whole thing. He was a great guest. We had him on.
I'm
going to
be
hours.
On with Reese and I'm going to kill it.
So beyond that meeting of him, I didn't get to interview him, but the host of the show, I was still a writer on the show and just dibs and dabs, but I got to meet him and talk to him. But the thing that I found interesting about today in particular was what was happening in sports commentary today on the death of O.J. Simpson. And here's what I mean by that. O.J. Simpson was alive and out of jail for a long time. Mm-hmm. A long time. O.J. Simpson was on X, formerly Twitter. He was talking about current events. He even opined about the presidency, was bashing Donald Trump. So he was very much available. So I have to come down on a few people, not by name, but just by industry.
Oh, good. No, some give us people, the names too.
Some people took it upon themselves to say very scathing things about O.J. Simpson. Stuff like, if I was on the jury, I would have convicted him and put him under the jail. People said things like that. My thing that I don't seem to understand is that all of these talking heads who have shows never once called O.J. Simpson to confront him to his face, because he would have done the interview, and talked to him about that case. They all could have done it. Not one of them ever did. And I find that shockingly odd, because what we do is, remember, like, we're supposed to do the interviews, and what makes us who we are doing the interviews that most people won't do. And if we do an interview, it's an exclusive, unlike any other interview you've ever seen. And O.J. Simpson, for a long time, was the story, even after the Las Vegas event, when he ended up going to jail for 10 years. And he spent those 10 years in jail, but when he got out, again, no one ever sat down with O.J. Simpson to talk to him about his life, with everything that happened, never bothered. And then when he died, everyone had something to say, which again sort of pulls me into this realm of going, were you cowardice? Was it uninteresting? Or are you just sucking the last drop of blood from his life today? And now you know who I'm talking about, because, you know, and there are people in the sports arena, there are people who have talked about O.J. Simpson in a condemnable way in a lot of ways. You know, Nancy Grace could have done an interview with him. There were plenty of people who could have, but they never once had him on. If O.J. would have loved, and trust me, I sent requests. If O.J. would have done an interview with me, I'd have had him on. I don't care what the response would have been. People would have said, oh my God, you're talking to O.J. Simpson? If you'd heard the interview, you would have been happy I'd done the interview. But many people who had the gravitas and the name recognition to pull him in never did. And I wonder why.
I to have come a out hypothesis.
To... Sorry?
I have a hypothesis, a theory.
Please.
That O.J. was a burned-out topic and a burned-out individual.
Right.
Out of prison. And radio hosts are like everybody else. They're kind of dull a lot of
the time.
Oh,
I'm not talking about radio hosts here.
Well,
I'm
TV talking about television. Hosts, whatever. Same thing. They tend to be less imaginative, I think, the mm-hmm. people in TV punditry as opposed to radio. But I think there's a lack of imagination that sets in. Oh, he's over.
Right.
And they just ignore him. When, in fact, he's only over until if you can't find a way to reignite the flame.
Right.
But the flame is just sitting there waiting to be relit because you've got all this natural volatility around the character. There's so much background. There's so many things
right.
you could talk about. You could talk about what it's like to fly around an airport.
Mm-hmm. But it's useless now. What I'm saying is that the exhaustive, and I mean that from the ESPN. Let's just put it out there. ESPN is a place that injected itself into every political and social conversation known to man. Okay? Why it never took the opportunity. They do documentary series 30 for 30, and they did one about O.J. Simpson. And you're right. The truth is that the story was old until they could pick its bones. And those are the people I'm talking about, the ones who were picking his bones.
Yeah, so it's interesting talking about it today because suddenly O.J. is fresh.
and relevant.
And there's a context that's appealing to talk about him again, which is, hey, it's been, can you believe it? It was 32 years ago.
Exactly.
That this took place. And then suddenly he's a reference point in our lives. And he is, because you think about who was I with when I heard that verdict and mm-hmm. what was their reaction and all that kind of stuff.
When I heard he had prostate cancer, that was my first thing. I was like, we got to talk to this guy. He may not be here long. Maybe this would be, if one person had interviewed him, if he had cozied up to them, imagine what you probably could have gleaned from O.J. Simpson.
But he's been doing interviews, hasn't he?
I'm sorry?
He was on a podcast.
Yeah.
I saw some clips.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
There were plenty of other places that he went. I'm interested into why the people like Jim Gray didn't do interviews with him. There were plenty of others. You know, no one at ESPN saw an interest.
But
in
is that not good enough? They were too dumb.
Yeah, too dumb.
Yeah.
To do an interview with him. Maybe they were. Maybe they're just not as good of a host as I would be in that case. Because I find relevance in the fact that O.J. Simpson, if he says he has prostate cancer, there's a likelihood that he will not survive.
When did that news come out?
I want to say a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they should have used that to parlay his relevance
exactly.
and to anticipate his death. Because
exactly.
Usually when that gets announced, it's because they want to prepare you.
Exactly. And you and at that point, you go, listen, O.J., if this is going to be the last hurrah, let's clear some things up.
Yes.
Now, not that O.J. needs to, but it is one of those things we don't have a button on. Like, we haven't tied a bow on the end of this story. There's always the conversation, did he or didn't he? He just is.
Mm-hmm.
Even though many people believe he did, while others say, well, but he was acquitted. O.J. had an opportunity to tie a bow on this. And we as people, as journalists, we could have too. But I'm listening to the means of, like, the people who are mean-spirited in the analysis of his life mm-hmm. know damn well that they could have reached out and talked to OJ. And now they sound, you know what I mean? They sound like they're picking his bones.
One other thing that they would have had the opportunity to do is to tap into his own desire to be seen maybe in a different way.
Right.
And part of that would have been for how's his life been and how's it felt to be the bad O.J. as opposed to the idolized O.J. And,
exactly.
And, there's a lot for him to be able to talk about.
Indeed. If Casey Anthony announced that she had breast cancer tomorrow, I'm going to find her in Ohio and do an interview with her.
Well, you might want to find her in anticipation. You just never know.
But that's what you know, that's what you're supposed to do in that regard. It's like, you know what? You want to be the guy that sort of gets the deathbed confession, so to speak. And I just didn't understand today, because the OJ story was literally in the back of my mind. You know, I said, okay, fine, he didn't want to do the interview, wasn't interested. Okay, whatever. Probably because he knew some of the questions would be harsh. And they might be stuff that he was uncomfortable with or didn't want to answer, you know, on a small little show. Cool, no problem. But there was someone out there with a bigger show, a bigger name, that he could probably trust and wanted to go out with that big hurrah.
There must have been somebody he had a good relationship
with
who had the kind of gravitas that you're talking about.
Exactly. And it fathoms me, it bewilders me that no one took that opportunity, but the opportunity they're taking now is to, you know, berate him, pick his bones, use him for, you know, for ratings, and it just didn't make any sense to me.
Your point is a really interesting one. The part of it that I find interesting is the human fallibility, the way humans run as a pack.
Yes.
And everybody thinks the same thoughts. And it's so easy to fall into the pattern of viewing things the way you think you're supposed to view things, the way you've been trained to view them, instead of the way you should, given your lot in life. Like, if you're a host on ESPN, as you're suggesting, Reese, you would think, okay, this is a guy who's way more famous than I am.
Yep.
Has way more clout with viewers than I do. Can twist any subject we want in a whole new direction and give the day an outcome and people something to talk about that they would never get anywhere else.
Yeah.
And how
exactly.
do you not seize that opportunity?
And, you know, look, I don't know what OJ's, what his last thoughts would have been on his life, his career, his infamy. I don't. But I think that in and of itself is a question, because I know maybe it's just innate in me, maybe just because of that journalistic bug that I have. But the only thing that ran through my mind when I found out he died this morning, a friend of mine texted me and said he had died. The only thing that ran through my mind was, damn, I wonder what he thought of himself as he was passing on. Like, did he once say, wow, this is how they're going to remember me, or my memories, you know, like what were the last thoughts about his legacy or his infamy were going through his mind on his last days? God, I would have loved to have picked his brain.
There is one potential big problem with your hypothesis, and that is that he was a burned out human, and maybe he was always a burned out human, or maybe the whole thing with the murder and the trial took something out of him, or maybe he was doing a lot of drugs after that, or maybe he was, you know, whatever. But he struck me, I forget when the interviews happened where I encountered him, but he seemed like just a burned out old criminal. That there was nothing, there was no kind of pinging going on inside the brain.
Well, you know what? A good question to ask is, infamously in the 70s, OJ had an interview, I guess, that was related to race. And many people were angered at OJ because he did not join the racial division at the time. And you know, the 70s were very racially volatile, of course, civil rights and all that stuff. And I remember, you remember famously, OJ was responding, he's like, you know, I'm not black, I'm OJ. And that became a bone of contention for the African-American community for a long time, that he wasn't acknowledging his blackness. And this was really, you know what I mean? This was
like
difficult.
He had somehow been able to step out of his skin.
Right. And this really, really angered people in the African-American community. You know, I've never heard a follow-up question to that. It was like, hey, OJ, you remember in the 70s when you said that? Where's your stance with race relations today and Black Lives Matter? Now, he actually was a Black Lives Matter supporter, many people might not know. He openly supported them on Twitter at the time. But no one ever followed up the question by asking OJ, it's like, what's your stance on that 70s, you know, remarks that you made? And I would have loved to ask that question.
That would have been probably the best question to get him to talk about. Because
that's
one he could explore without having to, you know, have the reservation some other subjects would have brought with them.
Exactly. And I think that would have been, for me, that would have been my warm up. You know, in getting deeper into the other stuff. You know?
Right. After you broach that, then you have some comfort.
Yeah, exactly. And it's sort of like talking about his life and his career. Because I think OJ's life, unfortunately, when we think about this at the end, there are two signature moments in his life. And it's he played football and he allegedly murdered his wife and her friend. And those are the two footnotes. There's barely.
He was a movie star.
Well, people don't, and when people mention that, it's almost an afterthought. I mean, he was in the Naked Gun movies. Is that really a movie star?
He was, in terms of
and Roots,
fame.
And in Roots.
It's like Donald Trump has a certain panache that no other politician can have because he was a TV star.
Right.
And you can say, well, you were on The Apprentice. What's the big deal?
Right.
But the big deal was he was a primetime star for 10 years. How many people have that credential? How many people get to be a big developer in New York City? How many people get to be a contender for president of the United States? How many people get to be? He's got a big list.
Yeah. No, I get, listen, the OJ thing, although fascinating, I think the fascination is not with, I mean, his story's over, as you said earlier. I think that is a beaten horse. As far as the trial is concerned and him being out of jail for the, you know, for the robbery in Las Vegas, that's all said and done and it's old news. But the way in which it's been talked about today, it's like the headline story everywhere. And I'm like, when the guy was alive 2 days ago, why wasn't it relevant then? And I almost feel like there was an opportunity to take advantage of death when they should have been doing it when he was right here and he could have answered so many
questions. Reese on the radio.
Oh, damn it.
.com. Thank you, sir. We're going to the BPS Lawyers Traffic Center for Ian, not Mark.
Ooh, Ian. Hi, Ian.
baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.